Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden, back to talk a little more about, well, several things. You know, I've been asked by some people to talk about certain things, and if you have a mind like mine, you know what happens. You get on one tangent, and you want to take it the distance so you don't miss anything, and then you miss why you were there. But anyway, today's reading, and I'll tell you a little bit about how that works, we have what we call a life recovery devotional, which works in tandem with our spiritual literature. But the key to it, again, is that it works a step based on the month. So we have 12 steps, and as you know, we have 12 months. So we work the step that corresponds with the month. So if we're in month 2, February, then this month would mean we're in February. And it has a day on every page. We have 30 readings for each month. So 31st, you do something different, but 30, so we use the actual date. So if it's February 18th, we go to day 18 of step 2. So step being the second month, or step 2, and day representing the actual date. So today is the 18th of February, step 2, day 18. So that's how that works. And today's reading, folks, by the Life Recovery Devotional people, Steve Arterburn and David Stoop, who wrote many, many books, by the way. You may want to look them up. So Worthy Promises is what it's called, and it's based on a scripture, Hebrews 6, 12 to 18, for those of you who are interested in that. And I'll read it to you, and we can discuss pieces of it after, but okay, so it's called Worthy Promises, and it references the step, the second step in the 12, and that second step is, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Now, we can pull that apart, but I'm just going to read it first, and then we'll go piece by piece through it. So, we may believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore our sanity, but still wonder how long it's going to take. Over time, we may grow discouraged at the length of the process. We may have our spirits dampened by the chaos we can't seem to escape. Some people report instant release from their addictions and the accompanying craziness, addictions, compulsions, behaviors, whatever it may be. But for the most of us, it will take patience to inherit the promise of a sane new life. Book of Hebrews tells us you will follow the example of those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and endurance. For example, there was God's promise to Abraham. God took an oath in his own name saying, I will certainly bless you and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Abraham waited patiently and, of course, received what was promised. The key point to consider here is that Abraham had to wait 25 years to see the promise fulfilled. There were times he took matters into his own hands, times he probably wondered if he had really received the promise at all, and times he laughed in disbelief to think that the promise would ever come true. In the end, of course, Abraham was now an old man, and he was blessed in every way. Just because our restoration takes time doesn't mean our faith is in vain. Let's keep holding on. And the caption at the bottom says, since God, or your higher power, is truth, and we believe that truth is God, God is truth, we can rest securely in these promises. So, and again, those are statements made throughout Scripture, and I think you'll find in any form of spiritual practice or religion, you will find similar readings and similar promises and so on. First thing here is trusting that there really is something. You know, the step itself, so we came to believe. And we've analyzed that in many ways, and I've said on previous programs, previous tapings, that I, over a time, and I've been doing these types of programs for 25 years, at times I thought, well, okay, came here for some reason, you know, in my case, and my son was in trouble. I came to learn if there was some way I could be of value to him and work the 12 steps for that matter. And, of course, over time I found out that by working these steps, I uncovered a myriad of things that needed attention that I never would have seen if I had not gotten into this 12-step program, things that I found during taking inventory, during discussions with a trusted person and prayer and so on, things that I wouldn't have done if I had not some guidelines to do it by. And that's what the 12 steps provided for me. They gave me a blueprint that showed me day by day and step at a time what to do, where to go, and how to live, how to understand. And it mostly had to do with not trusting so much in God, at least not in the beginning, but trusting that there were others gone before me who were doing really well, and life was good and not only productive and so on, and not without problems, but everything was something that could be coped with quite easily as compared to earlier. An escape was not necessary. I guess that's the place you want to get to if you're if you have the predisposition. In other words, if you're bent in a way, you have genetics that pulls you harder than it does the average person toward addiction if you do the same thing over and over again. And it really makes life easier when you do find a way to cope. And as I said earlier, there's millions of people every day. I can think of 10 million through a few programs that I know of that are actually in a form of sobriety today. And because there's 10 million who are coping and coping without the use of a substance, whether it be alcohol, drugs, or whatever, and without overeating, without gambling, et cetera, anything that really takes over and controls a part of your life can be known as something that fits within the addictive realm, because you don't have control at some point. And I think that what that means is you get to a place in life where you've been doing something, and you've been doing it maybe a little too often, and especially if it's something damaging to your physical body or your emotional makeup, etc., you may want to find a way to stop it, and you find that somehow you crossed a line, and now you just can't stop that thing, and, where do you go, what do you do? So anything that falls into that fits into this category. So anyway, back to what this was all about, worthy promises and so on. Number one is you've got to trust the people, and you'll build a trust in something higher than the people, I believe, over time, in most cases anyway. And some just don't want that. Some don't want to realize that maybe there's not only something out there that's far more powerful, but maybe there's something that is really in control, and control of everything. And I think if we talk in terms of Almighty, and I don't think it matters of what your sense of the Almighty is. If something's Almighty, the word all means total. And in my estimation, it's either, in this category, it really is either all or nothing. We cannot accept that, that there could be, something with Almighty power that changed day by day or changed its mind, his or her mind or whatever it is. Changed the way they had thought, because if it's possible, for one thing, to see the beginning and the end all at the same time, which we believe God can do, then how can it not stand that everything in between the beginning and the end must also be visible at the same time? So it's kind of like if we had such a power, we could just move outside of time and look back at life on a linear kind of description. In other words, you could look at the beginning and the end as a long line running across in front of you, and that line would have all the blips and good and bad experiences, everything that's happened to you in your life, and everything that will happen, and where it'll end, how it'll end, what you'll be doing, et cetera, et cetera. You would have to know all of it if you were to know the end and the beginning, if it worked the way our human minds do. And I don't think it does, but I think we're given glimpses here and there, and I think that was a powerful one for me, the glimpse that it could be all seen, and that it all was all, in a sense, written, and not by me. But it was all written, and it had to be scripted if the beginning and the end was known to anything, God or everything else is less, of course. But If it was not, then none of it could be true the way I saw things. So I accepted that, and it worked well for me, and it took a lot of heat off. The first thing it did was, again, tell me that it was scripted, and no matter what I did, it would end the right way because it falls within a script put together by something so much higher than me. I don't even have to understand how, why, when, where, or anything. I just know that it has to be that way if the truth of a higher power, of an almighty God really is. So, and I find that, talking, discussing, connecting with my sense of that and speaking and communicating is really the basis for what I do, how I live, especially now, and especially when trying to get across to incarcerated people, a sense of hope, regardless of where they're at, what they've done, how long they're going to be in there, even forever or out tomorrow, doesn't matter. Hope is needed for any of them to make it, especially in the depth of depression and either alcoholism or drug addiction or any of those habits that they control. It's necessary for me anyway, and I need to trust. And so I have some people I trust, and I have to be able to pass all that stuff onto these people inside. In other words, I have to come in and speak this stuff from the heart. It only has to mean to them that I really mean what I say, and whether they believe it or not is not so important as whether I'm being real or not. And I think that's what comes across to people more than exactly what comes out of our mouths, because that's always up to interpretation, and everyone has a different interpretation of absolutely everything that goes on. We may all look at the same picture, but in reality, we cannot see it the same way anyone else does. Kind of hard to comprehend, but then kind of not, because I'm sure in your life you've had situations that you've had for whatever reason, been discussing with other people, and other people did not see it in the same way at all. For instance, you could be talking about a pet situation, we'll say a dog, the most loved creature, I believe, out there, and then you're a dog person, and you can't imagine people hurting animals for no reason or something, and you would almost do anything for your animal, and they seem to be the unconditional love that you need in that department. And then there's another person who, in this person's country, they actually eat dogs. They grow them and groom them as we would chickens or anything else a certain way. And of course, that's never pretty. And they eat them. So they obviously do not see what they eat as something they love and they're attached to and communicate with in different ways. So you can see, that picture, although it's an imaginative scene as opposed to a stagnant picture, really is seen so differently. The perspective is so, so different. And I use a dramatic case, but you can go anywhere in between and it's still not seen the same way. And beyond that, the way chemically that your eyes work and the way mine work, looking at the same thing is not the same thing. It doesn't look the same. So these are things to consider, and everybody is so different and so on. But with that trust, I believe, you can be seen as a worthy, worthwhile person by just about anybody you communicate with. And of course, I don't believe that anybody is liked by everybody or loved by everybody, and I think that's fine. I think, again, I believe you should decide to love everybody, but that doesn't mean you like them, and I have many people that I will absolutely treat as well as the next person, but I don't really want to spend time with, I don't want to be a friend, maybe, I don't want to be close to, and I think that's fine. You're told to treat everybody right, not to like everybody, not to have to spend a lot of time with people you don't like, etc. So, again, a lot of common sense, but I believe it's true. So you have trust, and then the trust has to go to, no matter what makes life easier, So sometimes, especially with people in jail and so on, it's a you know, and for promises, maybe someone read somewhere that this happens if that happens, and that's a dangerous situation. But, you know, unless it's based on your blueprint or a bunch of people who have gone before and done those things, and that's the way it always worked, unless those are the circumstances, it's very iffy to listen with any amount of seriousness to people who say, if you do that, this will happen. Well, how do you know with something or somebody or some persons, you know, with absolutely total different makeup, you know, different chemical makeup, different perspectives, different thoughts, how do you know that anything you do will result for them exactly the same as it resulted for you? I don't believe you can, so I don't like to use that. And we have another thing in the program that's, we call them the 12 things that Sharing the Burden members believe come true. And we always add that if you really work this program, we believe these things will happen. And we don't say they will because we don't know. But we just know statistically that certain things seem to be of best value to people. So we use those things. And we'll talk a little about that. Maybe not today, but we will talk about it. So back to this. Okay, we may believe that a power greater than ourselves exists. And I think I've gone through that, at least my sense of it. Why I believe, why I don't. It started with a decision and then it gently became something over time as I communicated with my sense of this higher power. It became more and more evident that certain things were seemingly happening the way I would want them to. And if they didn't, I was able to accept in a comfortable way that they just were not meant for me, possibly at this time, maybe never, maybe in the future. But not to try and hold captive, you know, this God, this higher power, to do exactly what I want. And you know, I honestly believe that everything I want is not really what's best for me. And if this higher power is out to really end in the best for me, then I must just accept each and everything that happens. And I find that works out really well. It keeps me a little more honest. It keeps me trying to be as pure as I can. It keeps me better for those around me. And if it's better for those around me, then they're a little better than they would be without me around them. And they're better for the next person and their friends, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that goes a long way to making this whole place we live a place where more people respect and understand other people. And that understanding, I believe, over the long haul would result in a love and a connection, you know, a communicable connection that really makes sense in this world of craziness. Anyway, but for the most of us, it will take patience to inherit the promise of a sane new life. And we understand that, so we're patient. But you will follow the example of those, I like to say, who have gone before us. And as I spoke about earlier, the 10 million people out there and the 100 million affected by those 10 million and, the zillions affected by those 100 million who were affected by those 10 million, et cetera, et cetera. And we're only talking a couple of large programs, you know, dealing with alcohol and drugs, for instance. So there's just so much more to it. So I believe you, at least to some degree, must ask yourself now, this person, that person, a he and a she, and many she's and not as many he's, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, have done these things, and these things have come true. So I'm going to try them. You know, I'm going to try them, and I'm going to work them the way they tell me to, because I don't know how to work them, but they do, because it's worked for them. So, you know, you may listen to a variety of what works and what doesn't. And, you know, again, if you're communicating with your sense of this higher power, you'll may do what I do, and I don't know. And what I do is I communicate, you know, and by way of just speaking as though the entity, the God I understand, is right here beside me and always with me, maybe on the inside of me, but just always there. And, you know, that talk, if it results in a peace, a real serious peace, then I'm of the belief that that thing is right. If, on the other hand, my solution to whatever after communicating results in anxiety and in uncertainty and doubt, then to me, that's a message to don't go there. at least not now, you know, into maybe if it's very something I think very important, and maybe I have to ask again and again and again, and maybe at some point it will be the appropriate thing, but for now it's not. You know, and again, and wait patiently. You know, that's the big theme or the big meaning of this Worthy Promises, or this day 18 of the second step or the second month. So you will follow example, and then such and such waited 25 years. You know, I've had situations where we'll talk about the depressive scene, for instance. I've been in that for close to the same amount of time, maybe more. So we're talking 25 years, and I've been able to cope over time. But you know, by looking at a lot of other people, a lot of reading, a lot of meetings, and I found too that 12 steps helped with the mental illness, and depression's a mental illness, anxiety's a mental illness. You know, don't be stigmatized by labels. So. We all have a degree of mental illness, a degree of intelligence, a degree of failure, a degree of success. You know, on spectrums, we all have a place somewhere. So they can come up with as many different kinds of spectrums as they want. We're all part and parcel. I think who we are, how we treat people, how we're esteemed, how we may share hope, and how we may truly share burdens with one another will be a measure, if anyone needs to measure, that is, of, you know, our not only ability, but our worthiness to spend time with. And I think that's real key. So this last line here says, just because our restoration takes time doesn't mean our faith is in vain. And you know what, folks, as I think out loud here, the faith just makes you stronger and stronger the longer you wait. And I have another sense, I'll tell you what that is too, that the bigger the obstacle, problem, the situation that you need to overcome, I believe every situation that's put in front of you is overcomable. And again, I believe that higher power arranges for that obstacle or those obstacles or those circumstances that may seem awful for a purpose. And I believe that purpose is to finish the game, to finish the day, to finish the whole of you know, the universe and everything. If there's an end or if there's a move on to the next dimension, I believe it's one that everyone has an opportunity to take advantage of. So, and I believe it comes out right. And I believe that it has to, because this perfect entity, this higher power, this God, has put it all together, and it can only end the way He would want it to end. And you can't imagine, a God of, you know, not doing that. So anyway, folks, we're going to do a wrap here, and we're going to come back and talk a lot more about this, talk about love in jail, and what does an STB meeting look like. And we'll do that next time. So Scott at Sharing the Burden, say goodbye for now. See you next time. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Sharing the Burden live on 102.9 FM in Stouffville. Please go to sharingtheburden.ca for this and previous broadcasts. Hope you enjoyed the show, and hope you'll share it. Until we meet again, this is Scott saying, have a great day.